to lead the show off today with a guy that I had dinner with last night. Me and 300 other Utah baseball fans gathered last night at the Sheraton City Center downtown for a night with Utah baseball. Tyler and Taylor Rogers, the Rogers brothers, the fifth set of identical twins to ever play in big league baseball, were in last night. We had a good time raising some money and having some good time talking some baseball with Utah and with the Rogers brothers, didn't we, Mark Harlan?
Yeah, Bill, thanks for doing what you always do, stepping up for us and hosting that. And I thought those guys were great, and I thought you were interviewing them last night. It's not easy interviewing identical twins, by the way. That was impressive, but they were great. And, you know, Gary has relationships with those guys, and just to hear from two major league baseball players, for everyone there and also our current team, you know, to dream big and go for it. It was a great night, as it always is.
Just an FYI for you guys out there, the season opens for Gary's guys in California in about 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. They open up with San Francisco, but the home schedule opens up at Smith's Ballpark mid-March, around March 17th. They open up the season at home with Pac-12 play against Arizona State, so note that. And we are expecting, aren't we, Mark, to have a better year this year because Gary played a bunch of young guys last year.
Yeah, I mean, Gary's really excited by how things have progressed since the season ended. You know, we know that he's one of the elite pitching coaches in this country, and I think we're going to see a lot of improvement on the mound. But you're right, young team, got older, second year under coaching staff, so I'm expecting a lot of improvement, and I know they are too.
So you broke a little news to those that were in attendance last night because there's been a little angst as of late with the Millers' announcement they were leaving downtown and opening up a ballpark of their own out in the Daybreak area out of the west side of the valley. People were wondering what would be the home for Utah baseball in a couple of years, and you had a little news. Care to share that news?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, the city and certainly everyone involved in the Miller organization with the Bees has just been such great partners with University of Utah for so many years. It's been a real honor, actually, to play at Smith's Ballpark. It's one of the best, you know, AAA fields in the country. You know, we have been certainly in the loop to a certain degree on conversations that were happening and the possibility that the Bees might be moving on. We got a call the night before from the mayor to our president, just updating kind of where things were at. Well, it all kind of lined up with what we've been really diligently working on for, gosh, I want to say 13, 14 months. There's been multiple feasibility studies on campus of where to construct an on-campus baseball stadium, knowing that despite how great it is to play at Smith's Ballpark, we really believe the best future for our baseball program, like so many of our other programs, is to play on campus. So we've really been working at it. The good news is we really feel like we have a solution to build a really nice stadium on campus. We're focusing in on the Guardsmen site where our current practice facility is, but we really feel like we found some solutions and most importantly some terrific funders that I believe will step up. So we were anticipating this type of news. We feel like we got a great plan, and we really look forward to getting more specific with our fans and with our alums and with everybody in the community. But at the end of the day, Bill, I strongly believe it's time to bring our baseball home and bring them back to campus.
Is there a chance, I know you can't reveal a lot right now, more to come, but is there a chance your timeline will match up with the Bees' timeline, or is that still to be determined?
I think we're in a good position to be able to match up that timeline. You know, we're still going to be communicating with the city. I think the mayor's call for creative concepts on that space is a great plan, and I think that, you know, we're going to be in tune with that plan. Could there be a year beyond the Bees to give us additional time? Perhaps. The good news is the city and us are in good communication, but if it comes down to you know, having to move in the next, after the next two seasons, we're just going to be ready for whatever comes. This is an important program for us. You know, we've won a league championship in the past. I believe strongly in college baseball. You know, matter of fact, this year I was named to the baseball selection committee representing the West Coast. So it's really important to me personally, but most importantly, it's really important to this university. And we're gonna take on this challenge and really improve the program.
Mark Harlan's with us, University of Utah Director of Athletics here on the Bill Riley Show today. you know, you and I have talked about this. You've talked about it with a lot of people over the last few months. The Pac-12 media rights deal. We had kind of targeted last summer, perhaps November, December. That didn't necessarily happen. Some of the UCLA, USC movement probably impacted that just a little bit. But here we now sit in early February. What kind of an update can you give us, Mark, or maybe a timeline on when you and the CEOs around the Pac-12 and fellow athletic directors are expecting to see something from the commissioner?
Well, I do think the UCLA Regents situation really is the big contributing factor to why we couldn't get a deal done before the end of the year. I mean, you just didn't know what was going to happen there. And certainly anyone that followed it closely, as of course I do, knew that there were many regents that were not happy about the decision. Matter of fact, you know, four of them voted against the move, and it didn't take much more to block them. But that had to play out. I mean, you have to know what you're negotiating in terms of what universities are with you. You know, we're way down the line of conversations with many interested parties. The commissioner and his team and the advisors that are working with him on that certainly have reengaged since that decision into the first of the year. And so I anticipate we're going to see things really get moving faster. Remember, you know, there's so much to layer in on this. You've got your tier one rights, which of course is primarily football, basketball. And then you've got a situation where we own a network. We have to decide what we're going to do with that content, with that network. We've got new players in the space that haven't been in the space in the last few years. Of course, I'm talking about the streamers. So there's a lot that goes to it. And lastly, Bill, if you look at the overall timeline, we were just now going to be getting into negotiations.
Right.
It was supposed to be this spring anyway. So I'm reminded of that a lot. We're the only Power Five conference with any football or basketball product left over these next 6 or 7 years. So I want it done yesterday, right? It's something you want. You feel more stable. Get to the grant of rights, tying us all together, there's no question. But what I really want is the best possible deal for this conference and as such for the University of Utah. We did have a really good update meeting on Monday with the presidents and the chancellors and the athletic directors. So I feel like we're moving in the right direction, and I do feel like things are going to really pick up now that we're, you know, certainly into February and moving forward. I anticipate something really before the NCAA basketball tournament. But again, it's got to be the right deal, and we need to take the proper time to get there.
Is there anything specifically holding the deal up, Mark? You know, grant of rights, anything like that, or are they just working through the process?
No, the only thing that was holding it up was the region's decision, which it was in mid-December. Now it's just the all the parties involved just going through final proposals, you know, minutia of which game goes where, all those things. The timeline and the kind of sequence of events that George has articulated, not only to us but publicly, is get the TV deal done, go into grants of rights, and then in the middle of that grant of rights process, also look at possible expansion candidates. But the key thing first is to get the television deal done. And once that happens, all those other dominoes will start falling appropriately.
The reason I ask that, there are always rumors out there that maybe a particular institution or two might be trying to hold things up to get a bigger piece of the pie, but you're saying that's not the case.
Absolutely not. I saw something on that. Absolutely not. No, all the schools are working very together because it's so important. Why would you hold up anything when a TV deal is so important to you? So, no, we're all working very collaboratively, all the presidents, all the athletic directors. Now, when you get to the grant of rights, could there be some negotiations on all of that, different ways to distribute money? We've had some of those conversations to kind of see where folks are at. But at this point, we are all working very closely together to get this deal done and to make sure it's the best possible deal.
All right, back to your campus for a minute. The women's basketball program is having unprecedented regular season success right now, the highest ranking in program history. Lynn's team certainly on a great track right now. If this track continues, there's a very good chance that she could be hosting and you guys could be hosting the first and second round of the women's basketball tournament at the Huntsman Center, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Top 16 teams, as determined by the Selection Committee on Women's Basketball, do host. I don't know how many years we have left of that, but boy, are we excited that this is a year that we could do this. A lot of work, tough conference, and Lynn and I talk about this, but we don't talk about this part too much. But to see us ranked seventh in the country and how we have just risen step by step, year by year, it's pretty exciting to be in this conversation. But you're absolutely right. Similar to how we last year were sent to Austin and we played the University of Texas in the second round on their court, one can imagine how nice it would be to be in that situation here at the Huntsman Center.
I've got to ask you, because Lynn's program has been a slow build. She had modicums of success and for various and assorted reasons wasn't able to get over the hump till really last year. Athletic directors, you have to look at these things all the time. What was it that you saw when you took over? She obviously predated you as athletic director, but what was it that you saw that gave you great confidence in Lynn in building this program to where it needed to go?
Well, you know, the first month when I was here to sit down with all our coaches and spend multiple hours with them and to hear what was working for them, what wasn't working, their vision, you know, recruiting philosophies, coaching philosophies, development philosophies, it's really easy to tell you that Lynn's vision and everything I mentioned was at an elite level. And then you look at what she had done at her previous stops. Right. I mean, everywhere she went, she either fixed it and was winning at a very high pace, which was why Chris Hill was so attracted to her to bring her in at the time. I mean, it made perfect sense. And if you remember, Bill, my first year here, we started off, I want to say 12 or 13-0. We Yep. came out of the blocks and then we were decimated with injuries, season ending injuries. And we just kind of. But I saw when she has that kind of talent, what could happen. And then this talent and recruiting and her staff and her, you know, they shot out of COVID like a rocket. And, you know, we talked a lot about that during COVID with all our coaches. What do we got to do to make sure we shoot out here and be elite when this whole nightmare is over? And boy, their program did it, as so many others have right now in our department. But yeah, great students, great coaches, and when you have that, you sure got a chance to be really solid like we are.
So conversely, the men's program is also on a good track, maybe not the same accelerated track, but it's only year two for Craig Smith. And in many ways, they might even be a little bit ahead. I wasn't sure. I knew they'd be better this year. I wasn't sure how much better. And again, we're 23 games in, but they're certainly improved over a year ago. Postseason seems like a definite possibility. What postseason? I don't know yet, Mark. So as you look at the landscape of things, you know, where do you see the direction? And what, you know, obviously there's NCAA, which is everybody's ultimate path. The NIT seems like a very realistic possibility, but there's still, I think, a path for the NCAA. When do you start looking at this, and what can you do, you know, as an AD to kind of help along the process?
Well, you know, listen, it's been a partnership with Craig since the moment we brought him in. And again, similar with Lynn, you know, what did he see when he got here that the administration really needed to focus in on? You know, what kind of student was he going to recruit? And then how can we all assist those efforts? Oh, all the while, this massive transformation, right? And Lynn's dealt with this too, with you know, 4.7 to almost 5 now, you know, student athletes yearly transferring. So really, you know, Craig had that first year. I thought it was obviously a difficult season, but you saw these signs of how much he was getting out of them. Fast forward to this year with some new students coming into the program, mixture of transfers and freshmen and the kind of summer they all had together that full year. And, you know, so I wasn't too surprised. And how we came out, you know, Craig had hinted that defensively he thought we were really ahead of the schedule he might have set. And I think what we've seen this year is when that offense is in that realm, we've got a chance to win many, many ball games. And we've seen that. You know, look at the Arizona game, for example, when we were clicking in both. So I'm very, very pleased. And anybody that's watched the program knows that we've gotten a lot better. We've got student athletes who work their tails off and who really like each other. So we're in the thick of it. I mean, rounding the turn in second place in the league, obviously split last week. You know, got as you said before I came on, we've got 3 home games now. We've got to get after these games. Our fans have been so great. You know, I can't express enough. You know, when I go in the locker room after the game and our students are talking about, hey, Mr. Harlan, the crowd was great tonight. You know, I mean, it makes such a difference. So very grateful. Big 3 home games. You know, as far as what's next, I sound a little coach speak here. You know, I know that it's in the conversation. I'll really start looking at it probably in the next couple weeks. But to get in any form of postseason would be a remarkable turnaround in year two.
Two more things, then we'll cut you loose because I know you got to go. Do you have any more clarity on the football opener? Not that it really – we know it's one of 2 days. They're only a day apart or 2 days apart, but I know people have been asking me that a lot. You know, have you settled anything with Florida yet?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Maybe I can clarify a little bit of this. I've been getting some of these questions too. So let's go back to when we did the contract with Florida, which I don't know, Bill, what was that, 3+ years ago?
Yeah.
And I'll have a relationship, a really good relationship with their AD. And we talked about it. And one of the things that was really important to them, if they were going to come this far out, they really wanted to do a Thursday game in Salt Lake. Now, you know, I can have my own opinions about that. But if you look at the University of Florida, this is their first game, west of the Mississippi in a regular season game. And I think when they were in the bowl game this last year, that might have been their first game. So to them, this is like traveling to, Australia for a game, right? That's their mindset. So basically, it was a deal breaker if I didn't agree to flexibility on Thursday. And Whit and I talked. There's advantage for that for our program. We've got a tough TCU game after. And having those two additional days is not a bad thing. So I went to the ADs. You have to ask for permission. A couple of years ago, they voted yes on that. So where are we now? Well, they have a new football coach there, right? And they're not maybe as concerned about that as they were a few years back. So we are now working with the TV partners and both conferences to figure out, you know, what's the best place. Here's what's really important. We want to make sure we have great exposure nationally for that game. That's really, really important. And also, I like the concept of our team having additional days, but I also know that for our fans, they would prefer a Saturday. So we're going to try to work all this out. The last thing, I'm going way inside on this, hopefully not boring you here, Bill.
No.
But the national draft for the networks is coming up in about 3 or 4 weeks. That's when, this is fascinating, every single college football game is put on this massive board, and anybody that broadcasts football then goes through their picks. And almost every year, the first game picked, what do you think is the first game picked nationally? Every year, it's almost the first game picked.
You want to get that one? Ohio State, Michigan.
Bingo. Every year, it's the first one picked. So it just goes on down. So we got to kind of send a signal here, the two schools, on what we want to do. Bottom line, I think we're going to know before the draft, because you're not going to want to draft a game if you know it's locked in Thursday. So Scott Strickland and I are working on it. He says he's getting a lot of pressure because his fans, you know, are already booking up Park City and all this stuff. So more to come. I imagine the next 3 weeks we'll have it settled.
All right. I know you got to go, but if to answer this as quickly as you can. It's outside your program. We've gone through another cycle of recruiting. We've gone through our second full cycle of NIL. What are we seeing in the big picture? Not necessarily at Utah, but if you want to use Utah, are we seeing things settle back to a mean? Is it still wild, wild west in your mind? Are we getting? It looks like maybe we're getting some schools pushing back a little bit. What's your big picture read on NIL, especially with regard to football, but maybe basketball a little bit too right now?
Look, you know, the progress of our NIL programming has certainly moved forward. You know, I'm pleased that we're close to $3 million in deals, and I know we can do way more as more students get engaged, as we do or continue with our efforts to get the community more involved. You know, some of the collectives that are out there are really starting to find their way as well that support Utah. So we're kind of going through this whole process, but like anything else, we can be better at it. And we had a head coaches meeting the other day, and I told them all that I know as I stand in front of them in you know, the last day of January, that the next year we just need to all be better in this. As it relates to recruiting at Utah, we've certainly seen a lot of success. Obviously, football had a great class. We can go on and on. We've seen a lot of great student athletes come on board. But I think what's most important is the questions about it are becoming, as Whit has said, you know, in some cases, not all, the most important thing. And so it's just important for us to make sure that the availability for them to have a great education, to compete, all those kind of things, is also complemented with an NI program that they believe is fair. And again, Bill, some students really care about it and some don't, right? And I do think some of the stories that make all the national headlines are very, very minimal as you look at the scope of student athletes. But I want what's best for our students and for our programs, and so we're continuing to develop that. And I think really over these next, I would say, 6 months, it's you're going to see a real surge, particularly in the collective type group. Last thing on this, you know, the NCAA did come out with a whole different way to handle compliance in this space. I've told you before that that's been frustrating when it is clear you're not supposed to be inducing athletes, and we know that's happening. They've changed their whole mechanism for looking at level one and level two violations, which you basically have to prove that you didn't do it when it seems so obvious, where before the burden of proof was so high up that the NCAA wasn't to get anything done. Our board of directors, in somewhat of a surprising move, voted to do that. So I'll be interested to see if that doesn't change some behavior that we've seen out there. But we've been doing it the right way. We're going to continue to do it the right way. We're going to focus in on the student athletes at Utah that are here competing and making sure that we have great stories to tell to our recruits about, you know, what members of that team are experiencing. That's been our play, and we've got more work to do. I like our progress, but I know we can get better.
Hey, thank you for doing this. I'll see you up at the Huntsman tonight. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Take care, Mark. Mark Harlan with us here on the Bill Riley Show.